Welcome to episode 3 of the SEO for Photographers podcast by Fuel Your Photos. I am Dylan Howell, and I'm here with Corey Potter, and today we're going to talk about backlinks.
Yes, it's a great topic. It's probably one of our most frequently requested, especially by people who are already kind of covering the basics and they want to get into more advanced SEO. This is one of the things people are always asking us, how do I get more backlinks, or what do I need to know about backlinks?
Exactly. I think we mention this all the time, that backlinks are a force multiplier in your SEO efforts, and they always seem to end up doing the trick. They lift your rankings over time. I think it's something that everybody knows they need to work on, and few people actually take the time and make the effort to build these backlinks, because it literally is work.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that it's an intuitive process, right? It's not something that you can just follow a step-by-step guide and get backlinks. I mean, I guess you could, and you could buy backlinks theoretically, although don't necessarily recommend that in most cases. But I think, you know, when we talked about how can we teach people about how to get backlinks, because in our minds, as SEOs, as people who do this kind of thing all the time, as people who look at backlinks in our professional tools all the time, it just comes naturally, I think, and we take that for granted. So today, we wanted to give you some real examples from our own photography websites and how we've attained specific backlinks. And hopefully by seeing these real examples, you'll start to get some ideas for categories of backlinks and ideas for ways that you can also do the exact same thing.
Yep, totally. And feel free, like, these are examples and this is how we've done some, but you need to think creatively, because it's going to be a different task for you in a different set of circumstances. So just use these as ideas, and let's go from there.
Yeah, real quick, a kind of another disclaimer here. We're both coming at this from the wedding photography perspective. And I would say, to be fair, it probably is a little bit easier for wedding photographers than a lot of other types of photographers, like a newborn or a maternity or family or portrait, any kind of portraits, headshots, boudoir. Those things, they're going to have their own strategies that are going to work well. There's going to be some unique challenges, but don't give up. Still listen to this episode, because there's going to be some things that are going to work no matter what industry you're in. And hopefully this will just start the ball rolling in the right direction for you mentally, so that you can think about exactly what's going to work for you.
Yeah. And because those specialties can be a little bit more challenging to build backlinks, the competition is definitely much less. If the typical photographer has somewhere between 30 and maybe 70 different referring domains, which are sites linking to their site, in the wedding photography space, portrait and newborns and maternity and boudoir can sometimes be like 10 to 30, or just a much, much lower number of links.
Exactly. Actually, real quick, while we kind of are on that topic, as a general piece of advice, do you think that that's normal? Like, for a wedding photographer, what's a good number of backlinks? What do you see, like, let's say in a relatively competitive market, not like a New York City or Los Angeles necessarily, sure, but like a, you know, middle market, you know, like a Charlotte or Columbus, Ohio, or, you know, something along those lines. How many backlinks do you think is enough to like really make a difference?
Yeah, so for individual referring domains, I typically see people on the first page with somewhere around 70. It does depend on market, and not all of those links are going to be equal, but just looking at like the overall numbers that I see from almost every market, somewhere in the 50s to 70 or 80. And then the top few people that have been in that market for a long time and are usually at the top might have 200 or so.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty normal. And then in really competitive markets, I typically see even somewhere 300 to 500 in some cases.
Yeah.
And that's usually just the top 10% or less. But you do see that in some photography sites. Typically, those people have had some sort of national coverage on something that went viral or something along those lines.
Or a long career.
Exactly.
Built them up over time. So yeah, let's jump into it. I have my site pulled up, and I'll go through my list real fast, and then we'll go through Corey's.
Do you want to do it like all at one time, or do you want to do back and forth, or how do you want
to do that? Yeah, it's up to you.
Let's just go back and forth, so we're kind of splitting up the talking here.
That totally works.
All right, go first, and why don't you share your screen? I don't know exactly what we'll do with that recording yet. We'll make it available for our course members for sure. We may be doing some other interesting things with that in the future. But for now, we'll share the screen so that you can see like a visual of what that looks like if you're able to see that recording. Otherwise, we're going to try to make this really easy to understand on the podcast as well so that you can get an idea of where these links are and how they look.
Yeah, so a few metrics or variables that we're going to talk about. How authoritative is the site that you're getting the backlink from? And I don't have those metrics pulled up in front of me right now, but you want to like just understand that a very well-known wedding blog is going to have more authority than maybe a local wedding blog or a local wedding planner. So the actual links are going to be possibly more powerful from those more authoritative sites. Then you're going to look for the placement on the page. Google looks for how close to the top of the page is it, and how big is the font, and how likely is a user to click on that, as a way to see is the person that's linking to this content, are they really proud that they're linking to it, or is it kind of hidden in light gray font at the very bottom as like a you can click here if you want kind of thing. And then the anchor text, which is the text of the backlink, is important. And so those are a few of the factors we might be talking about.
Cool. Why don't you go ahead and take the first one
and
tell us about a link you have on your site.
Cool. So I'm sharing my screen now, and my first link is from Junebug Weddings, and this is from the photo contest Best of Wedding 2015. And I wanted to use this as an example for a value that you can get from entering and winning or getting I guess they have a secondary reward for these. I'm trying to remember what it's called, but winning these awards. It's going to give you that recognition in the industry, which is awesome and gives you some authority, but it's giving you a backlink. And not only is this backlink from Junebug going to be helpful, quite often news sites like AOL and Yahoo and MSN will do an article that's like, here's the top 50 wedding photos from this year. And you might get backlinks from all of those major news sites as well. So the cost to enter this type of competition, I think, was like $25. Obviously, you have to have the work that is able to win the award, so work on that as well, but it's definitely worth the time and expense, in my opinion.
Awesome. All right, so actually, Dylan, I changed my mind. Why don't you just go ahead and go, since you're sharing your screen as well,
sure,
so that you can just go through more of your tabs.
Alrighty. Next, I have proflowers.com, and they reached out to me after I blogged a proposal, and they were doing a roundup of 65 creative marriage proposal ideas, and they just wanted to know if they could use my photo and link to my blog post for this post. So this is just a case of me doing the work to blog and put out my work into the world, and they did a search and thought that it would be a great resource for their blog, and so I get a backlink from ProFlowers. Of course, there's at least 65 other wedding photographers that are linked from this site, but it's still better than nothing. Very limited effort on my side.
So basically, that was kind of a little bit of luck, where you put out content, they found it, and they used it and credited you.
Exactly, and so that's how blogging can like have a secondary benefit.
Yeah, I think that's a great one, because that's one of the main categories that I think photographers have as an advantage when it comes to getting backlinks is credits.
Exactly.
Because you're able to contribute content that's unique that people need to build their websites, and they're happy to give you credit. And in some cases, not in every case, but a lot of these people are really happy to link to you.
For sure.
And don't be afraid to ask for that, by the way.
Yeah, always.
In fact, that's a little tip you can go into. Don't you have tool that you can use to check to see if people are using your images without credit?
Totally. It's called Pixie. That's pixsy.com. And I believe it's free to sign up, and you can do a paid account that gives you like more photos that they check per month, but it pretty much scours the internet for anybody using your photos and without giving you credit. And then they have a tool to send them an email blast that says like, hey, you didn't credit me, like give me credit. Or you can like ask for payment, which could be awesome. I had one article that didn't credit me, and I got $5,000 for the photo use.
Holy
which
crap.
Was awesome.
That is awesome.
So yeah, on to my third example. It's brides.com, and it's a very similar situation. They also were doing a post about proposals, and they found my photo. I believe they actually found this one on Instagram,
And is it the same photo?
It's, yeah, same shoot. It went semi-viral due to the couple being amazing and awesome, and we were up on
top. What kind of proposal was it? Like, where was it?
Yeah, so we climbed up onto this mountaintop above the clouds on a snowy day, and so it's nice. Like cliffs and mountains and clouds and just really good friends of mine proposing, so...
So here's one tip for you for getting backlinks. Do epic shit.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I mean, it's something that I thought about when I was living in Idaho, and I was seeing some cool stuff being done in nature. But I realized that if you take it to the next level, you can make a name for yourself so easily. And it just takes a little bit of work and just pushing the limits of whatever you're doing and for your area or where you're known. So yeah, that's brides.com. My secondary point on this one is that I now have a relationship with the editor of brides.com, and she regularly emails me and is just like, hey, I have these 12 articles going out this week that need photos. Do you have any photos that fit this list of articles? And I make sure that every time she emails me, I answer as quickly as possible, often within like 5 or 10 minutes, and I just send her photos that are the correct size, and she can just add those to the articles.
Make people's lives easier.
Yes, exactly. And like, if she moves to a different publication down the road, she's still going to remember me possibly. So like, these relationships have throughout my career been huge. I'm going to go to the next one. It's exposure.software. And this is a company that used to be called Alien Skin Exposure. I've used them to edit my photos as like a finishing polishing step for like the last 8 years. And I built a relationship because I was like hashtagging and sharing their work in their Facebook group and like just letting people know that I use their tool. And so their marketing manager reached out and was like, hey, do you want to do a tutorial? And then they use my photos as like examples when they've done some releases of software. And so it was just reaching out to this company or like letting them know that I'm using the tool and then building that relationship. And that led to backlinks. It led to them doing interviews with me, tutorials. It's been really great. So,
and I want to say too, like, that's such a powerful tip in general in business, is to build relationships where you add value without necessarily expecting value in return. Sure. Yeah. You want to be intentional about the idea that hopefully you'll have some sort of reciprocity where you can ask for something or you can get some backlinks or you can get some shares from them, but don't necessarily expect that in the beginning. Add value because you believe in a company or because you're actually friends with someone or you like them. And then that will often lead to those natural relationships that have long-term benefits and not just a simple backlink that you check off your list.
Completely. Yeah, such a good point. All right, the next one is Green Wedding Shoes. This is like kind of a typical wedding feature, but what makes this a little bit special is that, once again, I built a relationship with the editor of Green Wedding Shoes and was able to send her an email just saying like, hey, I just shot this amazing two-part wedding. The first part was an elopement in Iceland. The second part was this gorgeous, detail-rich, beautiful wedding in Toronto. And they did a two-part feature, and it was exclusive and got a lot of traffic and all that stuff. And I don't think I would have got this feature if I hadn't first had the relationship with the editor and been able to just send her a note saying like, hey, this is really special. I think you're going to like this. It's perfect for green wedding shoes, and I'm not submitting this to anybody else. Like, do you want it first? And those type of backlinks, at least back when I got this, would mean instant inquiries for different destination weddings or similar weddings. And in addition to the like traffic, referral traffic, and the backlink helping my overall rankings down the road.
I have a question and a tip on this.
Sure.
Question: how do you get information for editors, and what's your initial outreach to start building a relationship with an editor of a website?
That's a great question. The first step, I have a blog post, and it's on my dylanmhowell.com site, and it's just called like 100 top wedding blogs, and it has a list. And so first you need to know who are the wedding blogs. And so I have that list of 100. It's a few years out of date and I need to update that. Then I start looking at their social medias. I start looking for the about info on their site and trying to look as a for a way to get around the typical contact form or submission process that the masses are using. And I really like, I will like track down the personal Twitter or the personal Instagram or whatever of these editors and start following them and start replying to their tweets that might be random about getting coffee or going on a personal trip. And then over time, building a relationship where I can be like, hey, and typically they follow me back eventually and they see my work and they understand who I am. And then I'm able to just reach out and be like, hey, like, this is a special wedding. I think it's a perfect fit for your publication. Do you want it? And a much higher chance of them accepting that over getting a mass submission from a tool like Tube Red Lights or something.
Yep, I agree 100%. Maybe one more tip to add to that is, and I know you've done this and I've done this as well, meeting those people at big events,
yes.
conferences, when you're speaking especially,
but yeah.
even at trade shows. I've had several where I went to a trade show, met the people who were either the marketing directors or, you know, a publisher of a major website, and I just had a quick conversation, grabbed their card, followed up via email, and it's like so easy when you actually meet them in person because they know you're real.
Exactly. And like, I feel like that was early on in my career. I looked at going to WPPI not for the classes I could go to and not really for like what cool stuff I could see at the trade show, but it was more like you'll end up in a hotel room party with these editors or like the person that's judging the Junebug Awards or whatever, and you get to just like have a real conversation. Like, most of my conversations would be about cycling or hiking or coffee or whatever. Like, you find common interests, you build those relationships, and it has little to do, like, we weren't talking about like the blog scene or the wedding scene in Boise or Portland or whatever. We're just connecting as people, and I think those are priceless relationships you can build.
Yeah, let me add that other tip that I had for this as well, and that is, as especially for wedding photographers, but for any type of photographer, whenever you have shoots that are epic, that are something that are extremely remarkable, something you think has a chance of going viral, or that you just know is a perfect fit for a specific publication, set those aside and do some work. And it's not going to be as simple as like send one or two emails. You might have to really work on it, and it might even take months of follow-up. You really want to commit when you know you've got something special to making sure that it gets in the right hands. But for everything else, that doesn't mean that just because it's not amazing doesn't mean you can't get any links off of it. Like, there's still plenty of places you can submit, including using something like Tube Red Lights, where you can submit pretty much any kind of work and someone will want to feature it.
Completely. All right, the next one is format.com, and this is a website platform. I actually had to figure out like where they're linking to me here. And it's pretty awesome. They're actually linking to that blog post list that I talked about a moment ago. They have a section about creating buzz for photographers and that you should submit to wedding blogs. This is great because it's a link to an internal page. It's not just a link to my homepage. It's a link from a authoritative site talking about promoting wedding photography businesses to this internal page that's my list of wedding blogs. And links like this, just getting a small handful, a couple of these links will drastically improve your rankings, in my experience.
Yeah, and I think that's another kind of side tip on that one, is that your post about the best wedding blogs is a research-intensive post that is likely to be cited as a source, right? You've got a huge table. It's got 100 things. It's got like data points for each listing. It's organized by domain or whatever you have it organized by. Like, yep. It's actually something that took you hours to put together, and someone else can't just put it together quickly. It's better for them to just reference your data.
Yeah, and I just pulled this up in Ahrefs. Over time, 20 different domains have linked to this internal page, and for a typical wedding photography site, that's huge.
Absolutely. Yep. And I mean, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, what am I supposed to do? Like, don't just copy that idea.
Yep.
Come up with anything that is something where people might write about a topic and need to cite some sort of data. So a really popular thing might be wedding costs, elopement prices, Maybe the, the average cost of all of the wedding venues in your city, and like you put that into a table, you call each of them up or whatever and get like typical prices, and you put that out there, and that's a huge resource. And you know, in your city, maybe there's not that many people that will link to it, depends on where you are, but then you know, you've got some data that people are interested in linking to as a source.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Sam Hurd doing that for the photographer side, where he just has done the research on all of the photographers around the world, like what they're charging, and he's releasing that as a resource, and that's going to get huge amount of links when he shares that.
And you have one recently that started to get some traction that are just like best photographers websites.
Yeah, totally. And that was just me taking a night to really think about which sites had inspired me over the past year or so and listing those out.
But I think the one thing that's so important about it is you didn't just list the websites. You have some data points.
Exactly.
Which are things like which platform are they on, and you know, whatever other points you came up with. I think that's important, is to have like multi points on each thing instead of just making a list for this kind of thing.
Completely. All right, I'm going to go a little bit quicker through these next few. This next one is jonaspeterson.com. It's just one of his wedding blogs, and this is a no-follow comment, so it's another factor that we didn't chat about earlier. Typically, links are followed. There's no attribute. If there's nothing modifying the link, it is followed by Googlebot. They introduced the no-follow attribute to decrease spam about 10 or 15 years ago, and then they recently said that that attribute is now just a suggestion. Why this link is unique is that because it's a no-follow link, it's just a blog comment. A lot of people say that that's not worth your time, it's not worth doing. But if you can comment on a well-known photographer soon after they've made a blog post, not only are you building a relationship with that photographer possibly, but they get so much traffic that people will actually click on your site and go to your site from those links, especially if it's a well thought out comment that you've made and it actually drives the conversation. So spending a few minutes when you're drinking coffee on like some Sunday morning, just making comments on popular photographer sites can be well worth your time.
Yeah, I have an example of that in mind as well, but I will also throw in really quick.
Yep.
Be careful that your no follow links don't significantly outweigh your followed links.
Sure.
Especially when you're using a comment strategy. So if you have 300 comments that you've made on different websites, and you have like 30 followed links, in my opinion, I don't have like concrete data to say that this is going to necessarily hurt you, but it doesn't look like a well-rounded, naturally built link profile. And so I would just avoid like going overboard on something like that until you have like a healthy link profile that you're confident in.
Totally agree. All right, my next example is a guest post, and we talk about these quite a bit. But a little bit more information. Typically, you do these by reaching out to a publication that you think you have relevant information to share, or that publication reaches out to you because they know your name and that they want to get some of your content for their site. This is a beneficial strategy because you can publish this information on their site if they have more authority than yours, and you might have a higher chance of that article ranking on their site than yours. It's an extra backlink to your site, and you get to expand your audience by taking advantage of using their audience or leveraging their audience. This example is flowthemes.com, and it's a content strategy for your photography site. So I was using my SEO background to write this article. I think I wrote it in one weekend. It links to my site. I believe it might even talk about our course that we offer, so it might actually help me with those sales. I know that we still get people signing up for our Facebook groups based on this. So it even a year after, or 6 months after it's been posted, it's still getting traffic.
Yeah. Cool.
Next one is just it's a wedding blog that the planner for my wedding submitted to and got a backlink to my site. So make great relationships with planners because they will make your life easier. They typically will handle the submission process for you if you allow them to, which is, in my opinion, great because you're letting them do backlink building for you. So I love working with planners, especially if they have connections with wedding blogs and they can do that for me.
Again, make their lives easier, get them those photos as fast as possible.
Exactly.
And already like the right size and the right variety, know what they need, ask them about it at the wedding or before, and get it to them quickly.
Dirty Boots and Messy Hair, they did a article about online galleries for photographers, and they found a tutorial, or not a tutorial, a testimonial that I had on one of those gallery sites, and they linked to me with my opinion. So that's just reach out, like, because I offered a testimonial or I agreed to do a testimonial, I got a free backlink.
There's a guy that I followed for a long time. He's a blogger, and he called this strategy the fanboy strategy,
Yeah.
where it's like just go out and review everything or like send them testimonials, and often they'll link to you when they use your testimonial.
It's so true. Here's another one, just to reiterate, blog comments. I had an RSS feed. I don't know if people still use those, and it has all of the typical big wedding blogs. And I just left a nice comment from this wedding blog. I did this right when I was transitioning my website because I had to rebrand and start over with a new domain, and I didn't have any wedding-related backlinks. I didn't have any wedding-related content yet, and I really was doing everything I could to kind of show Google that I'm in the wedding space.
Makes sense.
After that, looks like film interview. Once again, personal relationship with the founders of Looks Like Film was able to then turn into an interview about my work and who I am. So build these relationships. In person is huge. I met them at a conference, or I guess it's a workshop that I was speaking at. And so just taking time to talk to people, actually like engage in conversation and have a real relationship is key.
And those in-industry websites are great for photographers to get. I mean, there's
Yeah.
so many companies that are serving photographers who, like, you can get featured on their sites pretty easily by either A, talking about how you use their product, B, writing a guest post for them, like, whatever it is. And that shows that you're relevant in the photography industry. And so doing that builds trust and authority for you as a photographer.
Because guess what? These photography companies, they generally have a one-person marketing team, and that person is doing their social and their blog strategy and everything, and they're so overworked. And so if you just reach out to them and be like, "Hey, like, I have this content idea," or "I have this blog post ready to go," they will love you for it. All right, almost done. This one was another expert roundup about SEO. This is BNH, photovideo.com. This doesn't have to be SEO related like mine was. But most of these, I mean, these are all just photographers and they're just offering like what marketing solutions have worked for them. So you don't have to really like be at the top of the industry to offer your expertise. Everybody has experience, and you probably have something that's worked out well for you, and you can offer that. So don't think that you have to be like a top 10 wedding photographer in the world to reach out and try to be on these lists.
But when in that case, did they reach out to you or did you reach out to them?
Once again, personal relationship. I met the marketing person for B&H at a conference. I ended
It's
up
funny because I met the SEO guy for B&H at Google.
Wow, that's amazing.
I didn't really talk to him that much, but I
Yeah.
did meet him there.
I mean, I ended up shooting her wedding. Like it's these relationships have been amazing, and they're everything for your career. So really, I think over and over, I'm just realizing personal relationships.
And I think again, at my point to the last one you had there, it's good to get these industry links because other photographers and other photography related companies are going to notice you on these lists and then reach out to you for their lists when they go
Completely.
do a roundup or
All the time.
whatever.
Yep. It's like this self-perpetuating machine
It's a
thing.
snowball effect.
Exactly. This one, not much. This is a offbeat bride feature. It's a tattooed couple on a motorcycle. What's interesting about this is that I really paid close attention to fitting the shoot to the brand of the blog. As soon as I did the shoot, I was like, this is Offbeat Bride. There may be one or two other publications that it really would have fit with, but I knew that this was a perfect fit. And so they were the first person I asked, and they of course said yes when they saw the rad couple doing cool stuff.
Cool.
Here's a great one that I definitely used throughout my career. This is a Fistful of Bolts. It's a wedding that I second shot. It's Ryan Lewis of like Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. What makes this interesting is that typically when you second shoot for a photographer and they blog, they will link to your site. That's not always the case, and it's something you should probably ask about before you take the gig. But if you are just starting out in your market and you need backlinks, you should try so hard to second shoot for the top photographers in your area. Or if you see well-known photographers and they might be 4 hours away and they're looking for a second, you should just be like, hey, I will do it, and I will pay my like gas bill or plane ticket to go there. Because you're going to make these amazing, personal relationships with these people that are already authorities in the space, and you're going to get a great backlink. You're going to get some referral traffic. They might like tag you on Instagram or social media, and they'll probably be friends long term, and you can swap leads and everything back and forth. So those relationships are everything.
Nice.
All right. Two more. Well, it's like
you
one
and ton.
Yeah. One and a half more. Well, I have some backlinks.
Yeah, you do.
This one again, SEO tips for wedding photographers. And it's from Photobug, which is Junebug's blog. And this was just, I really concentrated on SEO as the one topic that I wanted to teach photographers about. And so I became known for that. And they wanted to have me as an expert on their roundup of SEO tips. So this is just figuring out early on in your career, or at some point in your career, what you want to specialize in, and really concentrating on being the best at that can really lead to backlink opportunities. Last tip, Wikipedia.
Oh, you saved the best for last.
I know, this is bonus tip.
this is secret sauce right here, people. You better for listen sure. up. Dylan doesn't talk about this very much publicly.
Yeah, totally. So Wikipedia is, in my opinion, one of the best opportunities, not only for being an absolute source of authority that Google uses to verify if you're actually putting out factual information, but there's so much referral traffic. Like the traffic of Wikipedia is mind-blowing sometimes. Like this is probably one of the most random articles on Wikipedia, and I still get maybe 20 clicks a day from this article to my site. Like it's pretty unreal. And so what I did was I wanted to know, are there any Wikipedia entries that had anything to do with photography that had broken links in their source references? And you can do this. I can't remember if I did it with a Google search only. Oh yeah, I did, because if there's a broken link, it will generally say source needed, or I can't remember what it was exactly. I'll add this to the show notes.
Or maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah. Or yeah, just
it's a secret. I'm just kidding.
Do some research, people. No. But you can just quickly look to see, you can look for archive from original is one, but I will look for there's a specific note for if the, reference isn't working anymore.
So basically Wikipedia is putting in parentheses like a or a term there. Yep. And so basically you can do a search to see if any pages contain that text is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yep. And so once I had that, I knew that this fashion photography entry had a broken link for the history of fashion photography. And then I just had to do the actual research, build a page on my website that contained the source information needed, and tag that as a reference for this article. It probably took 8 hours of work, maybe. But I did notice a difference in my overall rankings in the months after getting this. It gets constant referral traffic. The page I made on my site ranks number one for history of fashion photography. I don't know if that does anything for me, but yeah. But yeah, that's my secret Wikipedia backlink.
Yeah, and I mean, just know your success is going to be different every time you try that. Like
Yeah.
Dylan's done this multiple times on multiple sites, and it can work. However, the each topic or article may have different, what do they call the moderators for a topic? I don't
Yeah.
remember
Yeah.
exactly, but there's someone in charge, or like,
That's
the kind
watching.
of, yeah, they know. They're always trying to like make sure that people aren't just using this for their own personal gain.
For
And what
sure.
we're this tip of like trying to get backlinks from Wikipedia technically falls under that, like you're using this for your own personal gain. However, if you are genuinely adding value to your site, where it's like, I've got a real article, it was real research put into it, it really answers the question that's broken here, you are improving Wikipedia, and that is acceptable as long as you're not just trying to game the system and put up crap content to get some sort of link from Wikipedia, that's going
Completely.
to get edited out pretty quick.
Totally. Yeah. And so there's actually guides for writing for Wikipedia. You have to be super factual. You have to have a complete lack of bias as much as possible. You can research that a bit more, but it's.
Yeah. They will check though. Just know that like there's some that are completely anal about it and it's impossible to get listed on there, and there's some that are like not checked very much and all you need to do is just like fix it up a little bit.
Just before anybody tries the wedding photography, entry is edited quite heavily, and that's
It's
why
on
it's
lock.
exactly. And that's why it's such terrible content, I believe, is that nobody's really allowed to improve it because everybody's just trying to help their own photography website. So I would block that one out from here.
I feel like this is a general thought for link building is it's always this kind of weird moral balance, right? And it technically, if you want to get into it, like Google says that you shouldn't build links at all, right? Like all links should be natural, like natural in air quotes here. But I mean, you have to be intentional. You have to put yourself out there and then take the steps necessary for the right people to recognize your content. It's not about gaming the system, it's about adding real value into the world. And then being intentional about making sure that the right people are aware of that value so that it can get recognized, I think. And that's
That's
how I
perfect.
put it.
Totally. All
All
right. Are you
right,
ready to
my
share your
turn.
screen? It's your
Man,
turn.
this is gonna be a long episode,
Eh,
but I'll try to keep these pretty quick.
we'll be good.
I think it's good though. I mean, I think a lot of people are gonna like this. I'm gonna share my screen, and I wasn't able to see yours because you're recording with the other software, but hopefully this is coming through to you.
Yep, let me move screens here.
All right, a lot of these are going to be kind of the same things, but there are a few that are different. And I'll just kind of give some of my thoughts and then don't obviously chip in with any other tips or thoughts you have. Tell
All
me when
right,
it's good to
we
go.
are good to go.
All right, so first thing to note here and is that I'm looking in SEMrush at corypotter.com right now, but I also looked at ablazephoto.com. And it's interesting because I've got, while I was still a photographer, I had three brands in my set last 2 years of photography. I had ablazephoto.com, which is my photography brand, corypotter.com, which is kind of like a general personal website, and then fuelyourphotos.com, which was all the stuff about SEO. And if you listened to Dylan carefully, you'll notice that dylanandhowell.com was kind of all of those things for him over those years. And we just talked about this the other day. Dylan's like, I want to get my domain back. I'm like,
Exactly.
used for more personal things. He probably wants to put cycling stuff up there and like other things he's interested in. And that's kind of what I did with Corey Potter. And there's pros and cons to both, but just know that for the majority of my photography career, CoreyPotter.com was my photography website. And I switched it at kind of the year before I stopped doing that to Ablaze. But I'm mostly going to be talking about links from those two here. But here's a point. If you own other websites, you
Yeah.
can use those to link to your other websites. Like
Completely.
here, corypotter.com links to ablazephoto.com, and it probably somewhere here links to fuelyourphotos.com and any of my other money websites or value websites I'm going to link to from all of my sites. I think if you go to the homepage here, I have FuelyourPhotos, RadRank,
Nice.
any of the sites that I really want to rank, I'm going to link to from any of my sites that are already ranking.
And I think a quick clarification is that for most photographers, the best strategy here is probably going to be having everything on one domain.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just extra work for each domain to build these backlink profiles.
Yeah, the only reason you wouldn't do that is if you are like someone who has multiple businesses, or you're an authority as a person because of something else, and you don't want your photography to be mixed with that. It's confusing, and people get into all kinds of existential crisis about this. And
yes,
it's probably not worth all of that. Like, ideally, one domain is going to serve you better. You're going to be like Dylan and have hundreds of links to one domain, and not like me who has like 40 to each or some stupid thing like that.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, moving on. Some of these are like really simple, right? So the columbiastrings.com, wedding musicians, the finest in SC, but they have a top vendors page. There's Corey Potter photographer with that ancient picture here. Like, all of these, I'm looking at all these people like 10 years ago.
Totally.
So funny. Because these were like all my friends when I was wedding photographer. Anyway, so that's just linking to my site there. Same kind of thing you could do on pretty much any site. I think another one here.
So did you reach out to them?
In this case, it's funny because I'm not even 100% sure who Columbia Strings is. I think it's Jared is he was a friend of mine who I talked to quite a bit. And so I don't think I had to reach out to him. Cool. I think it was just like
he just
on
added
his
you.
List.
Yep.
This one is an ancient blog role.
Love it.
On Blogger. But for a long time, I mean, this is 2010, but like for a long time, wedding planners were using Blogger or WordPress.com, in fact, is what this is.
Totally.
And like, these are old links, but they're still showing up. They're still good links-ish. They're not like perfect links. Anyway, point is, they just put me in like a list of their favorite vendors.
Yep.
The whole point here is these are a couple of different ones. This is another one. American Floral is a florist here. Another friend of mine. Now, in this case, I actually helped with their website, so it's kind of unfair. But, I mean, this is just photographer credits, right, with a few different photography companies. There's mine, Ablaze Photography. All of that, like, if you could reach out to all of the people that you work with on a regular basis and ask them, can I give you photos? Will you give me credit either on that page or on a credit page or on your blog roll or wherever it is?
Seriously.
You'll take those links.
Well, if you shoot 30 weddings a year, there's probably 4 or 5 vendors at each wedding. That's a huge number of opportunities.
Exactly. All right, the next two are actually credit for taking photos. Here's the photo I was telling you about earlier.
Nice.
Dylan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Actually, in the background, they're faking a first look for setup. Anyway, so in this case, Jared's just telling the story. He hired us, and that links to ablazephoto.com. And so, like, if you like, this photo is one we took, and there's several others on his site that we took. And so it's like, he's just basically mentioning us as part of his story. And a lot of photographers on their about page will like credit for their about photo, they'll link to the other photographer who took it. So
totally.
Network with other photographers.
Exactly.
Take headshots for them.
Yes. That's so huge. So,
such an easy thing. This one was, this is a blogger who has like a pretty popular blog. And I mean, it's just a, oh, that's from a really long time ago. I wonder like how much they've been updating recently.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like
today,
a few days ago.
Yeah.
So like they just have a lot of blog posts. Anyway, we did headshots for her, and it used to be in the sidebar, and there was like a photo credit there, but she still has it in the footer.
That's
photo
amazing.
Photography by CoreyPotter.com. Ironically, Jared actually did that session for me as an associate and still got credit for the company on that site. I mean, this is a site that gets quite a bit of traffic, and it's still a decent link. It's not like one of the most valuable links being in a footer like that, but it's still something.
In general, would you say that links from sites that get more traffic are more beneficial?
I think so. I think it's probably a correlation thing, though, not necessarily a direct signal. That's just my guess, is that like more traffic sites mean more trusted sites, more authoritative sites.
Agreed.
And so in general, if it's something where you're getting real traffic to a domain, that means that it's probably trusted by Google, because a lot of people trust it. So they look at those metrics as, oh, look, this is popular. And popular means good in a lot of ways. This one, this must have been from like a billion years ago.
I'm digging.
This website looks like it's made on like GeoCities or something.
Digging the web design here.
Yeah, but look, there I am. HTTP, man.
That's epic.
So we know it's at least like 6 years old.
Yeah.
Because I would have adopted that early. But I mean, these kinds of things, back in the day, I would like search for every place that said anything about any kind of photographer. And if it was a free directory listing, I would grab it.
Oh, completely. I still think that's one of the first things that people should do when they're trying to get in a new market or new photography business or just starting their SEO journey.
Yeah.
Still works.
And I mean, what Google's going to do here is if they crawl this page, they're going to extract these entities.
Yep.
They're going to basically look at this from the perspective, like, are all of these people that we know or trust related to each other? How does, you know, this tell us something new about this new entity? There's a lot of potential benefits here. Now, one tip about these kinds of directories, I would say to stay away from anything that is geared toward the actual vendors more so than the audience. So like, in other words, I don't know what this one is because it's kind of like just really old and there's not much to it, but a lot of these will say stuff like, submit your website to get better rankings. And they're like obviously building the directory just to get people to sign up. Like it's geared towards the vendor.
Yeah.
Whereas like you want these directories to be geared towards brides and grooms, people who are getting married. If that's the case, or whatever, they're looking for photographers, then you probably should sign up for it.
Totally
agree. If it's free.
Yep.
This one, I was speaking at a conference. Someone wrote a summary of the conference.
That's awesome.
And they just linked to me there. Same idea, podcast guest. See, in this one, I think they linked to Bueller Photos, Ablaze, Harry Potter, like all of my websites got linked from this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And podcasts are pretty easy to get on.
Totally.
Too. Like everyone's searching for guests all the time.
Yep.
Hey, Dylan, should we have guests on this podcast?
At some point, I think we should.
But yeah, anyway,
so true.
Yeah. You know, it's easy to get on podcasts pretty much. So those are usually pretty good links. I mean, it's like inherently building authority, right? Because
completely
podcast episodes or podcast guests should be authorities. So Google's like, oh, they trusted them to be on their podcast. That must mean that they're an authority on a topic. And so now my name and this topic is kind of associated because of this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so super random one here. I just noticed this as I was going through my links. Product Hunt is my profile on Product Hunt gives me a place to put my link, and it's a followed link. How valuable is that? I'm not going to try to guess. Probably my opinion is it's probably not that valuable, but it's also a real followed link from an authoritative site.
Yeah.
Probably not going to hurt anything to get it. In fact, I would recommend getting this kind of thing.
Yeah. We were just talking before the show that we should create a spreadsheet, and we're going to put that in the SEO group, I think, of these kinds of opportunities that we find.
Yeah. Also, bonus tip here, if you're watching the video, you'll see I have this Chrome extension called Link Miner, and you basically just click it once you're on a site, and it will highlight all the links. So in green means it's a followed link. I think it highlights it in a different color if it's a no followed link. And then it highlights it in red if it's a broken link.
Cool.
Also good for the Wikipedia thing.
There you go.
For broken links.
Yep.
All right. Offbeat Bride. Hey, I got an Offbeat Bride one too, but nice. It's not as good as yours.
Dang it.
but this was a topic about how to have an unplugged wedding without you or your guests freaking out. And basically, mine is just a comment link here. But it is a comment that was adding to this conversation. And what I did is, in the little space where it gives you to like put your website in a comment, I've linked to a specific article on my site, which was why you should not have an unplugged wedding.
Nice.
And I actually did this. I went to like every site that talked about unplugged weddings and just commented with like my experience and what I was thinking about this, and then linked to my blog post. And that got quite a bit of traffic for a while because of those comments. And again, remember, your goal is not purely just getting a link. It's also, can I get people to notice what I'm talking about? Can I get real people to visit my website?
Yeah.
Who might then link to me or use me as a reference or want to interview me? So anytime you can add value to a conversation, it's a good thing.
Just random, but the author of this post is in the course, I believe.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Dustin Cantrell came to a workshop of mine, and then his wife joined our course last week.
Nice.
Yeah.
So maybe I should reach out and see if I can get a better link on this post.
Nice, nice.
Nah, it's not worth it anymore. But if I were still trying to get wedding photography business and wanted to do that, I would do two things. If I knew that Dustin Cantrell, now I had a connection to him, I would say, A, can you like link somewhere at the end of your post and be like, however, there are some alternative ideas.
Yep.
And you might want to check out this article. They would probably do it, I would imagine.
Totally.
Two, I would let them know that Offbeat Bride is not secure.
Yeah.
They need to speak to someone.
Provide some value. Exactly.
And then this one is a roundup. I don't know why it's on a tag archive, because technically it's not. It's a post. Hmm. Anyway, it's a post about bow ties. It's wedding style, seven snazzy bow ties. And basically it's on, was this Coastal Bride, coastalbride.com. And if you look at it, mine is here. It's a groom, and he has like a cotton bow tie with a seersucker suit, and they called it preppy.
Nice.
And but the thing down here, it says Cory Potter photographer via Belle the magazine. So actually, what they did is they found this on another blog, and that one I know for a fact, Belle the magazine featured me because of Two Bright Lights.
Yeah.
So I submitted on Two Bright Lights. Then someone else found that feature on Two Bright Lights, took one of the photos and credited me there. That was pretty interesting.
For sure. And I've seen that quite a bit as well, where one feature can lead to multiple roundups from these different blogs.
Yeah. And this is a good one to end on. It's something that we haven't even mentioned yet, which is surprising. This was a styled shoot.
Yeah.
And this was one that got picked up by a couple of wedding blogs, and I really personally wasn't the kind of photographer who did styled shoots or had the kind of style that was really popular with wedding magazines at the time, but it was good enough. And we worked with a couple of other vendors who kind of did the work of submitting it.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I think they had some relationships and were able to get it featured. This one photo though,
yep,
of them there, there's a couple, they're standing under this like arch with some kind of ivy or something on it. And they're holding a sign, and it says, and they lived happily ever after, and they're kissing. It's kind of cheesy, but it was so popular. It got pinned on Pinterest. I wonder if I can like look and see.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, but it had like 40 or 50,000 repins.
Nice.
And that one photo actually got me five or six more backlinks because of that getting so many pins. It got listed on a bunch of sites that were like wedding signs and unique wedding ideas and all that kind of stuff. So that's style epic. Shoots can be good because you can really focus on upcoming trends.
Yeah.
Get the right photos and then get those onto those kinds of roundups and wedding blogs.
That is so true. That's amazing. I've only done two stylized shoots, I think, in my career, but you're right. Both got featured. I think they not only got featured, but they got those secondary roundup links as well. So,
yep. Well, we've gone over, I mean, that had to have been 20 or 30 ideas.
Yeah.
I know I had 13. I don't know. How many did you have?
I lost count, but
it was a lot. I think you had more than I did. So that had to have been at least 25.
Yep.
We have a lot of good ideas there. It should have at least given you the right mindset to think about some specific things you can do to get links, and notice how it often happens because of natural real world relationships or just being intentional about the content that you're posting.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think both of us have probably gotten a lot of these links just because we were hustling and building our businesses and we weren't necessarily trying to get these backlinks. But hopefully if you're working on it, it should give you some ideas about how you can be intentional and use your time most effectively.
Yeah, I think I've always had backlink building as kind of a secondary priority that I'm fairly intentional about since I started. I think I told myself that the time you'll spend building backlinks will really pay off in dividends if your entire site's rankings are improved and working and bringing in inquiries over time. So I think it's a really efficient way to market yourself. I think it's the same amount of work or less than as trying to get like featured on a popular Instagram account. But instead of just having that one day of traffic, you get the referral traffic benefit and you get the authority benefit that just helps your entire career. So
such a good point. So Dylan, on one of the previous episodes, we were kind of bantering and discussing how we wanted people to give us feedback. And now we have a solution to that.
Totally.
We have on our website, fuelyourphotos.com, each episode will have its own page. And on that page, not only can you listen to the episode in a fancy player with, you can put this on 2X if you want to, which, by the way, we both sound way smarter at 2X, in my opinion.
Nice.
And anyway, you can leave comments on those pages now.
Yep.
So that's where we would love for you to give us feedback. And what I would love to hear from you on this episode is, how have you gotten backlinks? What are some creative methods that you've used to get a specific backlink? Give us an example. Or what other questions do you have about backlinks that we can answer in future episodes? If we can get some of this rolling where people are asking questions, we'll come back in future episodes and answer these questions from these posts.
Totally. So yeah, just go to fuelyourphotos.com/podcast and you can and see our episodes and leave a comment.
Awesome. Any other parting thoughts? I think you already kind of gave the best parting thoughts there a second ago, but
yeah, that's pretty much it. I hope you enjoyed this. I think it's one of our most requested topics, and it was great to just chat about it for an hour.
Yep. All right. See you guys later.
See ya.